to do it that way, and along with the date and who preached, getting a lot of feedback, but I hope we're not going to just be hearers of the word. I hope each and every one of you is making specific application to your life, lest we deceive ourselves. I mean, anybody can tickle ears, amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people singing this morning, and just thank you for the sunshine, and what a blessing. Lord, I pray again for all those churches I named this morning, all my good brothers in the Lord that are preaching around the country this very hour and the next hour, our missionaries, Lord, and Lord, what they're doing today, and we're just so glad to be part of this band, and just pray that you bless your word. Help me, Lord, physically this morning and spiritually. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm very sensitive to painkillers and muscle relaxers, but I had to take a half of one this morning. So if I start drooling or babbling or like that, just pray the Holy Ghost gets in there and overcomes that. Amen. Again, if you haven't got all of this, don't just pick this message out. You'll think I'm a madman, but we've been learning about the complexities of the heart, and it ought to stagger us into action. It ought to stagger us to make a plan and some type of commitment to keep our hearts or to guard our hearts with all diligence. We discussed last week the gates to the heart. I told you I was in the process control industry, and you desire a certain set point. You desire a pressure over here and a temperature over here and a viscosity over here and a velocity over here, and they would say, okay, we want it to be a certain temperature here, and they'd bring these inputs that say, tell us what the temperature is there. And then that instrument or that computer would take that data and say, oh, we're not at the spot we're supposed to be. Open up a valve, close a valve. Same thing happens in your furnace in the house. You set it for 70. That little thing on the wall says, it's not 70, it's only 67, but turn that thing on down there. All right, so that's what we do in our lives. And we talked about the ears and the eyes being two of the gates to our heart. And if the ear, if the heart is what we become, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Mine eye affecteth my heart. If that's the case, then what goes in there is going to affect what I eventually become. The mind is connected as well. Go to Acts chapter 7. We'll start there this morning. Acts chapter 7. The mind can conjure up good and evil without any help from the eyes and ears. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, notice I said good and evil. So we don't always need to, although Jesus saw the multitudes and he had compassion, he didn't have to see anyone to be compassionate. He's a compassionate God. So in this instance, it's a positive thing. Acts chapter 7 and verse 23. Speaking of Moses in the Old Testament, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, he hadn't been there in a long time, and I'm sure he could conjure up the things that he had seen when he was younger. But how many of you realize you don't need the help of your eyes and ears to conjure up something in your mind, good or evil? Amen? If I asked a scientist what is our source of thinking, he would undoubtedly say the brain and the mind, and rightly so. But the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why we see in Matthew chapter 7 at the final judgment, people will think they're saved, but they're not saved. They'll plead with the Lord and say, have we not prophesied thy name, cast out devils, thy name, done many wonderful works, just I never knew you. Because salvation is more than a mental assent to intellectual truths about God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. I always kind of believe the things I believe now, Brother Ron, before I got saved. But when it got down here is when I became a child of God and know him. So What goes in my ears, good or bad, ends up in my heart. That determines what I become. What goes in my ears, eyes, eventually gets down to my heart. It's what I become. But what pops in my mind, good or bad, makes its contribution to my heart and what I become as well. You see the inputs we're dealing with? Acts 5, John 13. Acts 5, if that weren't enough, I'm trying to motivate you to make a practical plan to obey the command to keep your hearts with all diligence, and I think the beginning of the year is a great time to do it. And you're going to need it till the day you die. If you make commitments today, the devil, you know, when you get old, sometimes things, some things get easier, some things get harder. But you forget there's a generation coming. I'm glad I'm on the way out. And when I say that, I mean all this stuff. I tell you, we've been watching those family videos from, there was none of this. You go in restaurants and four people at a table, they're all looking at it. We need to pray for our young people. They face battles we didn't dream of, lost. I didn't walk around with Sodom in my pocket when I was lost. But they do now. Acts chapter 5, if it weren't enough, our ears, our eyes, our minds, verse 3. You know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, these are people contributing to the benevolence fund. It costs to be in church back here, and these are people in this church. And you know they said, let's make like we gave and we really won't give. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart? Well, that's another scary one. Now I got my eyes contributing, my ears contributing, my mind contributing, and in this instance, Satan contributing, John chapter 13. You say, am I just at the mercy of Satan? No, I think what's going on in the rest of your heart maybe opens up some things to him having his way. John 13 and verse 2. The supper being ended, we're speaking of Judas. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. Now we're talking about Satan having influence on my heart. It's complex. The heart is complex. Thank God it's not all bad. Nehemiah 7, Hebrews 4. Now just Nehemiah 7. Nehemiah 7. If you got Jesus, you got a fighting chance. Amen. Did I say Nehemiah 7, verse 5? And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles, the rulers, the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. It's not always the devil, but there's a God in heaven that if you give your life to Jesus Christ, commit your ways to him, he's got a say of what comes in that heart as well. Here's my question. Have we seen enough in the Word of God concerning our ears, concerning our eyes, concerning our minds, concerning Satan, concerning our hearts, to warrant a plan of action, a specific plan of action on our heart, on our parts, to keep our hearts with all diligence? Last week we preached on the naughty word standards. The naughty word standards. A standard is nothing but an application, a practical application to guard my heart. Has the church strayed so far that she's convinced herself that God doesn't care about what we take in? Our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds, that God doesn't care about associations? What Bible are we reading? Has the church gone so far as not only the separated heart, that's the title today, the separated heart is condemned as judgmental? Forget all that. Go by the owner's manual. Now, today it's an old-fashioned, outdated, unpopular, often scorned, but very, very biblical doctrine called separation. Read my lips. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. New Testament. What do we do with it? How do we put shoes to it? What does that mean? Coming to church on Sunday morning? Romans 1, Paul said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. The liberals call it exclusion. The Christian world calls it judgmental and legalistic. God calls it common sense, practical application to guard the heart of me and mine that God has put under my care. Why? Because he's a cruel, jealous, insecure, controlling ogre that doesn't want us to have any fun? No, because of what we've been studying for the last 5 weeks. A little leaven. Little, not a lot. I make it to pizzas. How many? 13 cups of flour, 10 pounds of dough. But how much yeast in there? 4 tablespoons? And I'm getting 5 pizzas out of that. A little leaven is going to leaven your lump. Satan leavened a third of the angels. Are you more spiritual than them? God said, Eve, don't eat of that tree. But she yokes up with this anti-God character and starts a conversation. There are certain people you shouldn't talk to. And then they said, well, let's go look at it a while. There are certain things that you shouldn't look at. Are you weak? Yes. In my flesh dwells no good thing. I'm bent on it that way already. I don't need any help. Time she gets done, that tree is in her. We looked at Lot last week. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's your first mistake. Then next thing you know, he's in Sodom. And before it's over, Sodom is in him. And his sons-in-laws are gone, and his daughters are good as gone, and his wife is gone, and for all spiritual purposes, he's gone. A vexed, righteous soul who's with possibly the godliest man that ever walked the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ, Abraham. Leaven leavens lumps. Now, separation would be an easy task were it not for the fact that the same one that said, separate, said, and reach them at the same time. He said, reach them, but we're talking about being careful that they don't reach you in the process. Touch them, but don't get dirty. Heal them spiritually, but don't you get sick. That's practical Bible for survival and for ministry. If it weren't for the caveat on the end that you got to heal them and you got to reach them and you got to touch them, just get a cabin in the woods and be a monk. Live off the land, let everybody go to hell while maintaining your perfect environment. Oops, forgot, you're there. The priests, they made a vow of celibacy, and I'd be a fool and I'd be wrong to put everybody in the same boat. A vow of celibacy, totally separated unto God, and some of the most vile things in the world were happening. Adam and Eve had a perfect environment. See, there's a problem with ultra-separatism and exclusion. You got to deal with you. and you got to deal with the devil. So how do I practically protect my heart? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a nice New Testament, rightly divided Gentile book, the church of the one body, after the death of the testator, not in the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what I want to answer today. Where do I draw my line? And I'm not going to dot your I's and cross your T's. Now, we as a church, we need to as a church, but you need to as an individual. And I'll give you the invitation before we start. Do you have personal standards to protect the heart of you and yours? A fellow said to me yesterday, man, makes me want to cry. He said, "Preacher," he said, "you seem to have a common theme, and the common theme is the next generation." I said, "Well, you're absolutely right." He said, "You know what they missed in their, as you seek to motivate?" He said, "They didn't hurt the way we hurt. They didn't see the direction of things and have to grieve in their heart. They've grown up with it." And so what are your standards? Whatever mom and dad say. Whatever pastor says, and I'll just hang over the cliff of as far as I can push it. What about your heart? 2 Corinthians. So here's what I want to show you. Well, what is separation? Is it Amishism? Is it monkism? Is it ultra separatism? 2 Corinthians 6:16. Let's start in 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked. You know what a yoke is? That's what they put those two animals in. Together with unbelievers. We'll start with the unbelievers. Which, don't think if you're in a church, there's not unbelievers here. Notice he doesn't say do business. Notice he doesn't say commerce. Notice he doesn't say transaction. Notice he doesn't say shopping. Notice he doesn't say neighboring. Notice he doesn't say working on the assembly line. He's talking about yoking up. Together with unbelievers, for what fellowship, there's the word, fellows in the same ship, hath righteousness with unrighteousness. Jesus said, if you can't sit with a fornicator and have a meal, I'd have to take you out of the world. The question is, are you fellowshipping? With unrighteousness? What communion? That's what we're taught. Hath light with darkness. What concord, that's a union, hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement? See the difference? You can let the Holy Spirit tell you what that is in your life. Fellowship. Intercourse between two persons or more. That's more than just a discourse. That's more than just business. Interchange of transactions or offices, a state of giving and receiving, agreement, the old dictionary says, concord, the old dictionary says, and you won't find this one in the new dictionary, the Protestant churches have no communion with the Roman church. Fellowship, companionship, consort, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, familiar intercourse. And then the old dictionary, not the new one, says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And then God had the audacity to say, but rather reprove them. Lest my lump be leavened, I need to walk circumspectly with who I fellowship with, who I commune with, who I agree with, who my besties are. for the younger generation. For my heart's sake. Why? Because God is a spoil sport? No, He's a good Father giving me the tools to protect the most guarded treasure I have, and it's my heart that's going to determine what I become. Deuteronomy 4. I need all this more than you, by the way. Verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water or is beneath the earth. This is incredible. And lest thou lift up thine eyes, there they are, unto heaven, when thou seest, there it is, the sun and the moon, the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt. Do you see how prone the heart is to wandering? And I know what you're thinking, probably the same thing I'm thinking. Really? These are ancient civilizations. These are statues. We're beyond that. We sure are. American Idol. America's idols are alive. If you can fake being someone else that makes for a good story and remember a lot of lines, you, that's a Hollywood movie star, are idolized. You can be a fornicator, married 20 times. You are an idol. Think about it. Somebody takes a camera. That's why it's hard for me to watch anything besides documentaries and real life things, because I can't get out of my mind. There's a camera there. And you're watching reality TV. A girl fighting with her boyfriend. This is real life. There's a camera there, you imbecile. And somebody gets a camera and they tape it. That's whoever. Pick your star. Will you sign my baseball? We don't worship idols. We are overdosed on entertainment. We live in a fantasy land. The heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And we get on our devices and we let anybody, anytime, anywhere friend us. But we wouldn't think of bowing down to a stock. And we wonder why we don't pack the punch we used to. We're so busy trying to keep everybody happy that we end up with Sodom in our hearts. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Exodus 34, it's getting quiet. I better move on. Blame it on the drugs. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as we read Exodus 34, 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant. That's a concord, that's an agreement, that's an alliance with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest, lest it be for a snare, for a snare, for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods. Look at this, and make thy sons go a whoring. And that's exactly what happened to them. They didn't take the heed. They made covenants with the Gibeonites, and they couldn't take this people here. We'll just put them under tribute. I can handle it. I can't. The wisest, richest man that wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon had his heart stolen. By the way, he didn't just write the little sampling you have. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs. He didn't just write the Song of Solomon. He wrote 1,005 songs. If he can be taken by this and this and this, who am I? And the thing with the heart is, it's desperately wicked. It's deceitful. We're so deceived. We think we're doing all right. World is in the church. All kind of things going on. We're reaching them, man. Where are they? We get 100 beeps in an hour out there. Beep, beep. What's wrong with it? We don't even know. Is it a sin? If it's not a sin, man, I can do a lot of stuff that's not a sin. Walk not in the counsel. I'm trying to help you here now. Not dotting your I's and crossing your T's for you, not say, here's the list that you can't do, and just hang on the edge of it. I'm trying to get the truth into your heart so you can see what you need to protect your heart. Because how do I do it? How do I go to the grocery store? How do I go to be an engineer? How do I go to college? How can I do this if I'm not supposed to? You don't walk in their counsel, nor stand in the way of sinners. The way, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's what we're talking about. Jesus was separate in the crowd. Now, we're not going to go there yet today. That's why you got to stay with me through next week. He's not talking about a business transaction. He's not talking about the person in the next cubicle. He's not talking about your partner in the police cruiser, unless she's a 130-pound, 25-year-old blonde, 8 hours a day, that really, probably can't say this, but you're protecting her a lot of the time. I'll pray for you. You know what the psalmist said? I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Listen, young people, get your counsel from your parents and your pastors and who they approve of. Don't get your counsel from your friends. They don't have no sense. What do you think I should wear? Get your doctrine from your church. Not the radio, not the TV, not the DVD preacher, not the Leah group, not the ladies' Bible study, and not the latest stranger's blog. Get it from your church. Now, you could pick up some pieces about practical Christian living. I think you ought to. But you better be on guard. Psalm 144. As Angelo used to say, are we having fun? You only got to get it for 40 minutes or so. I had to get beat up all week. This is a Psalm of David, a man after God's own heart, wrote a majority of the Psalms, slew a giant. Verse 11, he would never make it politically today. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Why, David? Why? Because we're Pharisaical? Because we think we're holier than thou? Because we're better and we wouldn't stoop to such levels of depravity? No, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of the palace, that our garners may be full according to the manner of store, and the sheep may bring forth thousands of 10,000 in our streets, and on and on and on it goes. You mean to tell me we're going to look at that and say, let them just, we get on these things and just open up to anybody for hours. We scroll and scroll and scroll. And I don't want to hurt, I want to help, but I'm just going to say it. I decided 30 years ago, I'm not sending my kids to the government school. And I realize there's situations, I'm not talking about that. You that know me, you know. I don't want to hurt, but to risk hurting a couple for the fact of all those coming up, I'm not going to take my little tender plants and set them under liberal, feminist, pro-transgender, pro-sodomite, anti-Bible, anti-God for 8 hours a day. Now, if you do, if you must, thank God there are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you young people are sold out and have to do it, bless God be a Daniel. Bless God be a Samuel. Bless God be Paul's nephew. God will give you grace, so don't fret because you don't have the ideal. But we don't throw out the ideal because of the reality. And I guess when our kids get of age, they need to do their thing, but I'm not sending my daughter out to work with the Philistines. I'm going to stop right there. I want to say a little bit more, but David knew something that common man used to know. Good apples don't make bad apples good. If my son is a spiritual superstar and his best friend is a rebel, I have questions. I'm confused when there's, and you put the shoes on it the way God tells you. I'm confused with the agreement and the concord and the communion and the fellowship that light has with darkness. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, declare we unto you, that ye also fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm trying to reach Him. God bless you. But where do you go for relief? I've been around it, brethren. I've walked in your shoes. I was saved in 86, and I was in industry till 93. And if you think it's easy to try to make people like you and not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness trying to win them, you're going to need some God. Because what I would find is I would start to tolerate some things. I don't want to be disgusted at their filthy joke that they just told. They might think, I'm self-righteous. If you will obey God and reprove the unfruitful works of darkness, you won't have to defriend them. They'll mark you as a judgmental Pharisee faster than they found you. I dare you to reprove what they posted, which is a whole nother story. Oh, look at what the latest iconic Christian family is wearing now. A 14-year-old girl looking at that, that feels awkward to begin with, that is trying to follow a father who she thinks is too far, and they love God. Look what they're doing at the... See, we didn't have to deal with that. That's why I said, I'm glad I'm on the way out. Look what they're doing at the Chuck E. Cheese church. They won 50. What is your plan? I disagree with you, preacher. Then what do you disagree with? What do you agree with? Do you have a line? David said, rid me of them. Why? So my kids got a fighting chance. Because I don't want to win them? No, because I don't want them to win me. When we started bringing the world and the church, by the time it's over, we didn't win them. The world won us. You can't tell the difference, and don't the preaching gets watered down and everything just... Proverbs 4. Look, if I'm a little skeert preaching this to you, you got to go do it out there. Let's look at some principles. 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And then it goes on to say, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and they sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. There is a devil, you know. Well, he's a nice kid. And yeah, there is a devil who's got a lot of tools in his toolbox. Chapter 5. No, look at 23, 4:23. There it is. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee the froward mouth, perverse lips, far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And he's saying this way back then. You imagine walking down through Times Square today? Ponder the path of thy feet. There it is. The eyes, the mouth, the lips, the eyelids. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let thy ways be established. See that? Turn not to the right hand or the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Chapter 5, verse 1. What? I'm just talking about these three. The ears, the eyes, the heart. Verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Man, them lips look good. And her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end, see, that's what this does. It lets you, the Bible lets you see the end thereof. You don't see the end when you're looking at those lips. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder, it's in the heart. the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest I give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel and better men and better women and better young people than you and I have gone that way. So what's your standard? Anything, anytime, anywhere, just open it up. You know, open my mouth wide and I'll fill it. Well, just open up my heart. And just fill up. Draw a line somewhere to protect this. Proverbs 7. And we'll go home after this one. But you got to come next week. Verse 6, I never considered this before, but, and I believe it's Solomon, but somebody's looking out the window, seeing what this guy's doing. See, the Bible gives you the window to what goes on, and in our practical lives, you see the road that people take. It never turns out good. Sin always complicates things. But this guy's looking out the window. He's learning from it. I looked for at the window of my house. I looked through my casement. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding. He got some knowledge. He just doesn't understand it all yet. Passing through the street near her corner. Now today, the corner's in your pocket. And he went the way. Remember those things, the way near her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. That's when we sin most. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Now the eyes, he's in the way. Now the eyes are being affected. Harlots know what gets the job done. They pay their rent by it. She is loud and stubborn. You better be careful if she's pretty. And her feet abide not in her house. Discontent. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him. Caught him? A little scrawny girl caught a man? Oh. And kissed him. And with an impudent, that's like a hard, that's a confident, that's that no shamefacedness, said unto him, let's talk about God. I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. She's a good girl. She's a giver. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Me? You want me? Yes, yeah, Satan wants you. He desires to sift you as wheat. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently seek thy face. I found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry. Now it's going in the ears. Now it's going in the eyes. Now it's in the mind. I don't even like reading it. I start drifting. Come, let us take our fill. For the good man is not at home. He's on a long journey. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She, say the next word. That's rape. No muscles required. Just access to this, and to this. And you'll get you every time. And we think we can flirt with the world and mix and commune and agree and walk away unscathed. And the tragedy of our day is we don't even realize when we're anemic. I can handle it. A third of the angels couldn't. Adam and Eve, perfect environment, couldn't. Dinah couldn't. Lot couldn't. David couldn't. Solomon couldn't. Demas couldn't. And I realize that repentance is a foregone doctrine, but it's a clear principle in the Bible that you have to clear away the rubble before you can build. These guys that rehab houses, the first thing they do is go get all the junk out so we can even assess what we have, so we can start to set our goals toward the desired product that will be profitable. In this case, it's God. Guys, you gotta shower after you get dirty before you put the fufu on. That's all we're talking about. If we were to stop here, following the principle of separation, it's clear. Following the principle of guarding our heart by separation, following the command to put things off, we'd be as good as a dead man. Well, I don't do that. Neither does a dead man. I wouldn't be caught alive with that. Oh, neither would a dead man. And we get to priding ourselves in what we don't do. This is just the beginning. Now, can the Holy Spirit have access to your heart as you take inventory? Amy, you can come ahead. I told you about that computer, that process control computer we had, and I can't remember the exact number of inputs, 4,000 to 8,000 inputs. And those engineers, when they used to make those different levels of film, 250 speed, 1,000 speed, whatever it was, these guys would go in there, and for umpteen thousand data points, they would put a set point for every single point. As you take inventory of your life, this is my challenge. You ever think about a set point? Well, I don't agree with you on this. What do you agree with God on? Why? To protect this. This goes, this gets twisted, this gets deceived. You reap corruption. I'm going to give you a practical assignment. I don't know what your resolutions were. We heard a little bit about that, Lord willing. And I'll be honest, I'll make a confession before I even challenge you with this. I'm not a proverb a day person. I'm not a five psalm a day person. I read the Bible as it comes. Usually when I get to Proverbs, I go through twice. But this is my challenge. Open up your heart to God. Read the proverb of the day. We read half of the one for tomorrow already. And ask yourself, God, jump off at me if something in my life needs to happen. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Commune with God, stand. Commune with God in your quiet time and get a walk with God. You young fathers or old fathers that are getting tired like me and want to just throw in the towel, do what you want. When my mother used to say that, made me scared. Lord, what do you want me to do with this that ultimately I might guard my heart and to be more effective for you? Where do I have agreements? Where am I being impacted? Show me where I don't even realize it. Brother Jay, what number is this? 470. Let's stand out and sing. Would you just maybe commit to a proverb a day and say, Lord, just for maybe this sanctification month, write it down. Something. You know what you need. You know what you need for your family. You know where change is needed. You know what gets in that heart for a while. Then you get so deceived, you think, I'm okay.